Now, today we're going to be looking at a number of things as what I would call like the foundation, the background. Then next week, we'll look at what I've called the economies of God. How do you operate in God's economy so that you're not worried and so that you understand how this thing works? The first thing, I'll look at that next book. Today I'll look at three things. The first is this. We need to have God's perspective on money because money really impacts our lives very strongly as believers. I'll look at some portions of scripture. Now, the first thing that the Bible tells us about money and financial stewardship is in the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 25. The Bible begins to tell us that we can worry about money. Money can cause us to worry. And I think this one is probably the biggest challenge for us as Christians, where you look at your bank balance or your, if you have your budget and you're like an accountant or something, you say, look, I need to pay for this, but this is what I have. When I do the comparison, it doesn't match. What am I going to do? How am I going to make this thing work? Then worry comes in. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6 verse 25, it says, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more... Sorry, can you put it to NIV, please? So, it says, is not life more than food and the... food and the body more than clothes? So this is telling us that money can impact us in such a way that we begin to worry. You're worrying about how you're going to make ends meet. And Jesus is saying something here. He's saying, look, isn't life more than this? So Jesus identifies that worry can creep into the life of a believer. And for good reasons. Because logically, you're thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to pay for this? So the Bible identifies that worry is something that can come into our lives from this money issue and how we're going to provide for ourselves. You know, the other thing as well that is really dangerous, but is very subtle, is in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. We're talking about the fact that we need to have God's perspective on money. Apart from the fact that money can make one worry, or the lack of it, do you know that money can also become someone's master? And he says here, no one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. What does this mean? Now, are we saying God, money appears as a physical person and says, now I am your master? No. When something is the master of something else, if you looked at in the days of old, when there was no political correctness, your master determined where you will go, the job that you will do, when you sleep, what you will say yes to, what you will say no to. What do I mean by this? Money can take the place of God in someone's life in a very subtle way, where your decisions are controlled solely by money and not by God's intention for you. Someone might look at a job and say, you know what, if I take this job, it's going to pay me, I'm going to use an example here, £20,000, just as an example. And with this job, okay, it's fine. I'll be able to do all the things that God says I should do. I'll be able to go to church. I'll be able to, you know, give me time and it will cover my bills and it's fine. But on this hand, I have another offer. Double £50,000. But with this job, I have to stop going to church because there's not going to be time. It's working every single day. I can't do Bible study. And you now say, what do I do? You see, money can become one's master to the point that one's choice is driven solely by what money can do for you. Do you understand what I mean? And you're like, you know, which one do I do? And you say, logically, man, I'll go for that 50 grand one. And it begins to drive one. Do you understand? So money can become one's master. It can determine what you do, how you do it, where you can go, what you can't do. Do you understand what I mean? So it can impact us in that way. Now, the other one that's slightly more extreme is in the first is 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. It says here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 9, it says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that could plunge one into ruin and destruction. So this is saying that sometimes the desire to want to get rich can really, as a Christian, it can pull people into different directions. Do you understand? So this is saying that we shouldn't have the desire to want to get rich. Do you understand what I mean? It says those who want to get rich. So am I saying that Christians can't be rich? Christians can be very financially buoyant and rich. But that cannot be the sole aim of a Christian. That I've had conversations with people that every third line that they speak, you know, you speak with them hours on end. The only thing they have in mind, every three sentences, is, man, I need to make it. I need to make it. I need to do this. You say, okay, thank you. Thank you, bro. So how is everything going on with you? How is your family? Ah, they're fine. But man, there's this deal that I need to. Okay, thank you. That deal is fine. So how's church? You know, how is church? Yeah, I go to church. It's nice. But man, once I finish, I need to drive. Everything is about getting rich. That is the, you know, if you woke them up in the middle of the night, I need to get rich. Oh, I'm awake. Okay, then they slip back. Embedded in the bloodstream. Or you want to succeed. I must be the top in my career. And you know what I mean? God says, you know what? Calm down. That cannot be one soul's soul motivation. Now, the other thing is this. Money tells a lot about you and I as individuals. And I hope God will be able to help me to explain this. Do you know that you can tell a lot about a person spiritually based on their attitude towards money? Yeah, you can. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 16, verse 11. Luke chapter 16, verse 11. This scripture tells us something quite interesting. It says, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? So, what are the true riches that the Bible is talking about here? The true riches are the things concerning the kingdom of God. You understand? So, God is comparing the true riches of the kingdom, the deep things of the kingdom of God. And he's saying that one's attitude towards money says something about, it says something, it's something that is really, really deep seated in the heart of that person. And he said that, look, our attitude towards money, what we really think about money, how we interact with money, how we understand money, and how we deal with it impacts us spiritually as well. It gives an idea of a person. So what am I saying here? The first thing we're looking at here is that, look, we need to have an understanding, a true perspective of how God views money. Do you understand? So we've said that money can cause people to worry. It can become one's master. It can cause one to go astray from the faith. And it's an indication of how someone is spiritually. Very important. So the second thing we want to look at is this. What is the perspective that we should have about money or about our upkeep? We'll look at that deeply next Sunday, but I just want to mention a number of things here about money and about one's financial upkeep, so to speak. And the first thing I want to mention here is this. Do you know that God cares about God? Do you know that God cares about your upkeep? God knows that you have a mortgage to pay. God knows that you have a mortgage to pay. God knows that you have school fees to pay. God knows that you have rent to pay. God knows that there are clothes that you need to buy to clothe yourself. Do you understand? So God isn't just saying, I'm interested only in your spiritual life. Make sure you read your Bible. Make sure that you pray. And that's the end of it. Do you understand what I mean? So God is interested in more than that as well. So the second thing I'm saying here is that God is actually interested in he's interested in us financially as well. Do you understand? God isn't just saying, go ahead, you know, pray, do all these things that are in quote spiritually, but when it comes to you, how you feed, the things you need to do, the things you need to pay for, I'm not interested. No, God is interested in these things as well. And he actually cares about the things we go through as well. So if you look at 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. He says, cast your cares, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So God cares for every one of us. He cares about what you're going to eat. He cares about ensuring that. Do you understand? So God isn't just distant, leaving us just to carry on, you know, by ourselves. If you look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26 to 27. Matthew chapter 6 verse 26 to 27. So Matthew chapter 6, 26 to 27. It talks about God. You know, he says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So God is saying here, look, the birds in the air, they do not sow or do any of that, but God still cares about them. So what I'm saying here is that the first thing we realize is that God cares about us. He cares about what happens to us. Do you get what I mean? Now, the other thing as well, the second thing under this point of the fact that, well, under the perspective we should have as believers, is that God wants us to really focus on, well, should I say, not to really put too much emphasis on finances. Now, if you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, let me just see. Okay, let's look at Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And if you give me the KJV version here, Luke chapter 12, verse 15. He says, then he said to them, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life, the part I want to just focus on here is this. It says, life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. So, what God wants us to realize is this. Even though we need to work, we need to do what we need to do to ensure we get the money we need to do certain things, he says our lives should not be just focused on that. Our lives can't just be based on what am I going to eat, this, what job am I going to do, how am I going to do this. That should not be the majority of what's going on in our lives. Do you understand what I mean? So God wants us to have this perspective about that, that one, he cares about what happens to us. And number two, that these things about finances and all that should not be the central point. It shouldn't be the thing that is just uppermost in our minds all the time. Do you get what I mean? Now, then after this as well, we need to also realize one or two things. Again, I can just quote that one from Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. And Matthew chapter 6 verse 3. So the third thing under this one is the fact that God just wants us to really focus on the kingdom of heaven and he will take care of us. Do you understand? All right, so that's the second part. Now, the last thing that I want to look at about the true perspective of money is this. So we've looked at the fact that we need to understand God's perspective on money. We've looked at that. We've looked at the second part we looked at is that we need to have, well, the first one is that we need to understand God's perspective on money and finances. The second is that we need to have a certain perspective as believers. Now, the third thing that I'm going to look at and we'll pray after that is this. God wants us to live by faith when it comes to our finances as well. Now, when I say God wants us to live by faith, what I'm saying is that God wants us to trust Him when it comes to things like this. Just deviating a bit, I met, I think, this couple a long time ago, and they said, and I think wrongly so, they had a slight misinterpretation of the scripture, and they said, you know what? God has told us to live by faith, and we've quit our jobs, and we're just going to believe that God will look after us. Now, mind you, it's not like they're ministers, so it's not like they're going into ministry where God says the minister, you know, people should support. No, they're not even ministers, they're just regular Christians, and I say God has told them to live by faith. They quit their job. So what was faith in their own case? Faith in their own case was that even though they're not working, and even though another portion of the Bible says he that does not work should not eat, they ignored that part. Their own faith was the fact that people would, their friends, their family, people would contribute to their upkeep. These are grown people in their 40s and 50s. That people will contribute. So in their own minds, they were living by faith. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about here is that God wants us to trust in Him. Now, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. It says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant which He swore to your ancestors as it is today." So, in living by faith, this is really trusting God that, you know what, your job is not your source. Your ability to do business or trade on the stock market and all that, or do whatever it is that you do, that's not your source. God is your source. God is the one that gives us opportunities to work. God is the one that provides one way or the other. Maybe sometimes through people, sometimes through our offices, through... Do you understand what I mean? So the thing is this. The thing is this. God wants us to live by faith. And the way we live by faith is as we trust that God will provide for us. And as we realize that even as you're going to work, as you're doing this, as you're doing that, God is the one that really gives you the opportunities to receive income. Do you understand what I mean? And that's how we live by faith. So I'm going to stop there today and we'll carry on next week. So what am I saying today? I'm saying that God is interested in our finances, He's interested in our upkeep. But there is a way that He looks at this. It's a different perspective from what we would normally, you know, what we would normally do or what we would normally see around us happening. But God is interested in us. He wants us to live by faith. So we're going to stop there today and we're just going to pray. Next week, we'll look at some of the details of how does one live in such a way that you begin to trust God and you begin to understand what God does in terms of finances. How does it do it? And what is your part to ensure that you work in God's economy so that you can always be in a place where irrespective of what is going on around you, irrespective of whether there's whatever, it has no bearing on you because you're not part of that economy, but you're part of God's economy. How do you do that? We'll look at that next week.